Imagine trying to build like a wooden bucket to catch a massive leak, but the water is just pouring in so relentlessly that it outpaces how fast you can nail the boards together.
Right, the water is spilling over, the floor is flooding.
Exactly. And you're still scrambling for more wood.
Mm-hmm.
That structural crisis is, well, it's exactly the reality we are looking at today.
Yeah, we are taking a custom deep dive into the Western Cape Education Department's 2024-2025 annual performance plan. And our mission for you right now is to figure out how a massive regional system tries to guarantee quality learning when it's hit simultaneously by severe budget cuts, a fragile national power grid, and just an exploding population.
Yeah, the socioeconomic pressures mapped out in these sources are honestly pretty heavy. As of 2022, roughly 54% of the Western Cape population lived below the lower bound poverty line.
Wow.
Yeah, and you add to that a massive wave of immigration. Between 2019 and 2023, over 101,000 new learners entered the province's school system from the outside.
101,000.
Yeah, mostly moving from the Eastern Cape.
And, I mean, that migration translates directly into a severe infrastructure squeeze on the ground. Like, right now, nearly 34% of learners are sitting in overcrowded classrooms with more than 40 students.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's a pressure point intensely concentrated in the metro districts. The department did orchestrate a massive building effort in response, though. They built 2,255 classrooms over 5 years.
Which is huge.
Right. That created capacity for over 83,000 learners.
But the growth rate just kept accelerating, right? Because year-on-year growth leaped from roughly 17,000 new learners in 2019 to over 29,000 by 2022 and 2023. But wait, I have to push back here.
Okay, go ahead.
If the department actively uses spatial planning and demographic data to predict this growth, why are they always, you know, a step behind? If they can literally see the wave coming on their heat maps, shouldn't they be building ahead of the curve?
Well, it comes down to the mechanics of the national funding formula. The National Treasury doesn't just hand over a blank check the moment a student crosses a provincial border.
Oh.
Yeah, funding allocations rely heavily on historical census data. So when a province experiences a real-time explosive population surge like this, there is a multi-year lag before the national budget adjusts to reflect those new bodies.
Oh, wow. So they are penalized for the delay.
Exactly. The demographic models might perfectly predict the arrival of 30,000 new students, but compounding budget decreases mean the province is stuck in that lag. They simply don't have the real-time funding to build for the kids who arrived yesterday, let alone tomorrow.
So they are essentially fighting a two-front war. Like, there is the physical battle for desks, walls, and teachers, and then there is the infrastructural battle just to keep the schools functioning on a basic level. Because, I mean, you can't teach if the lights don't turn on.
Precisely. The national electricity crisis forces the education department to act like an energy provider.
Right. Load shedding.
Yeah. To protect learning hours from load shedding, they're rolling out LED lighting and solar PV systems with heavy battery storage. It isn't just a green initiative, you know, it's a mechanical necessity. By installing solar and storage, they are actively insulating the educational environment from those broader systemic failures.
And that leads right into their push for digital learning, like creating smart classrooms and upgrading LAN infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the report's data on those network rollouts, a pretty major contradiction stands out.
Oh.
Yeah, in 2023, National Quintile 4 and 5 schools were the primary beneficiaries of the LAN projects.
Right, the wealthier schools.
Exactly, the highly resourced ones. So if equity and supporting disadvantaged learners are stated core values, why are the most well-resourced schools at the absolute front of the line for this tech?
Well, it highlights a very real friction between ideal policy and crisis management. The quintile system dictates a lot of funding, but rolling out complex networking technology requires prerequisites.
Like what?
Well, it is vastly cheaper and faster to implement high-speed networks in quintile 4 and 5 schools because they already have stable baseline infrastructure. They have secure server rooms and existing devices.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, trying to drop that same network into a severely under-resourced school requires, like, building the security gates, fixing the roof, and establishing the physical infrastructure from scratch first.
Which creates a brutal irony. To future-proof the system quickly with the budget you have, you inadvertently risk widening the exact digital divide you are trying to close.
The department is walking a razor's edge. On one side, they are managing daily physical crises, literally finding a chair for a child who just stepped off a bus into the province.
Yeah.
On the other, they are trying to drive long-term infrastructure and digital innovation so the entire system doesn't stagnate.
It's a relentless balancing act. and it leaves you with a systemic paradox to think about. If the Western Cape's relative economic stability and governance continue to attract this massive level of migration, does achieving their educational goals ironically guarantee that their schools will remain perpetually overcrowded? Like, if you manage to build a better bucket, will the water just keep pouring in faster?